firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you?
Last time on Through the Bible, Absalom was killed in the rebellion that he led against his father, King David. And as we saw, David's grief was unbearable. Welcome to Through the Bible. Today our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, tells us more about David's deep despair and his attempts at putting the nation of Israel back together. So go ahead and find your seat on the Bible bus, and I'll share a few letters from our world prayer country of the day, South Korea. First, we've got this email. This is from a listener in Seoul. I feel blessed when I hear the broadcast. Thank you, God, for hearing our prayers when we are in the midst of hardship and for blessing us with your word and your presence. I have recently come back to the Lord and am so grateful he welcomed me home. And then next we hear from a new brother in the Lord. He writes, I am indeed grateful today for the salvation the Lord has offered to me. I feel that the great news of salvation is the only true comfort to the difficult life in this world where I can't find rest. McGee's Bible study is very uplifting to my weary soul and body. I love the teaching and the way it guides my mind. And then finally, we hear from a student who emailed this. It has been very inspiring to have listened to lectures on the book of Job through McGee's Bible study. I received a lot from the lessons. I realized that in the end, we should not try to solve all the problems of life that we encounter, but we should seek God's solution. I learned that we must lay aside our pride and look to God for the correct solution. I was also reminded that we should seek the Lord before anything else. Thank you. Well, what about you? What are you learning through our time together in God's Word? You know, there are so many practical applications in 1 and 2 Samuel. So why don't you tell us what God's teaching you? You can contact us really several different ways. It's easy. You can leave a voicemail on our listener testimony line. That's available at 1-800-65-BIBLE. You can email us at BibleBus@ttb.org, or you can always send your note to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, you can write to Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. Or if you're a friend or follower of Through the Bible on Facebook, you can also leave us a note there. And if you'd like to join us as we pray for listeners in South Korea and all over the world, and I hope you will want to join us, sign up to be a member of our world prayer team at ttb.org/pray. And let's do that now. Father, thank you that you're using your word to draw men, women, and children around the world to yourself. Teach us today through your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now here's Through the Bible with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, friends, I want to begin in 2 Samuel 19, but you'll recall that I left off last time as we looked at the tender grief of David, the tender love he had for his son Absalom. And when word was brought to him, it was a real heartbreak to him. And we find here an expression of grief that you could not find in any literature anywhere, as it is here. Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son. There are several reasons for the extreme grief of David. First of all, I think that David was not sure about the salvation of this young man. You will recall when his first son by Bathsheba was born, that son died. And when David heard that the boy was dead, the little fellow, David arose, washed his face, sat down at a banquet and rejoiced. And his servants couldn't understand it. He made it very clear. He said, I'm going to him someday. He won't come to me. And that'll be a great day when he'll go to him. He knew where the little fellow was. Now, at the death of Absalom, this young man, it breaks David's heart. Why? Because he doesn't know where he is. He's not sure of his salvation. Fact of the matter is, I'm of the opinion David felt that he was not saved. And it was a real heartbreak to David. And again, we must call your attention to the fact that David was a great king, but a very poor father. He never quite succeeded in being an outstanding father. And this boy is an example of it. Then another reason is David recognizes that these things are happening to him because of the sin he committed. God told him that there would never depart from his house strife and this type of thing. And it never left his house. But I believe that from here on, you're going to find that David is a broken man. Up to this point, David is a man, great energy. But from here on, David is a broken man. Again, I think part of his grief was due to his disappointment. He had really hoped that Absalom might succeed him to the throne. He didn't like the idea of him rebelling against him, but he at least wanted him to succeed to the throne. Now, the grief of David was such that even Joab was disturbed by it and rebuked David for it. And I'm beginning now in chapter 19, verse 1. And it was told Joab, "Behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom." And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people, for the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. In other words, it should have been a great day of victory and a day of rejoicing. But for David, it was not a victory at all. It was defeat. And it was a time of grief and of sorrow that was beyond expression. The people got them by stealth that day into the city, as people being ashamed steal away when they flee in battle. Why, they just left the battlefield after a victory and just retreated right back into Jerusalem as if they had been defeated and they were victorious. Why? Because Absalom was slain and it had broken the heart of David. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice. Listen to him here. "Oh, my son Absalom. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." How David loved this boy. What a tender expression this is. And I think, friends, when you go through the Word of God and you find this wonderful relationship between father and son, Abraham offering Isaac, "God spared not his own son." Certainly that's a reference to the offering of Isaac. And then you find this wonderful relationship that David had, a relationship in the sense he loved Absalom. He'd been such a poor father. He'd handled it so badly. But he loved this boy, and he's a broken man. Now, Joab, who was responsible for his death, and I'm not sure David ever really comprehended just how he died. I'm sure there were quite a few stories told to him how he died. And I'm not sure David would want to pursue that too far. Verse 5, "And Joab came into the house to the king and said, Thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants which this day have saved thy life, and the lives of thy sons and of thy daughters, and the lives of thy wives, and the lives of thy concubines, in that thou lovest thine enemies and hatest thy friends. For thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all we had died this day, then it had pleased thee well." Now, of course, Joab is pushing it to the opposite extreme, but certainly David would have preferred others dying rather than Absalom, and that was quite evident here. And Joab is rebuking him because of the fact that he actually grieved at the death of Absalom, who had become his enemy and would have killed David could he have gotten to him. Now, will you notice verse 8? "Then the king arose and sat in the gate, and they told unto all the people, saying, Behold, the king doth sit in the gate. And all the people came before the king, for Israel had fled every man to his tent." You see, the people needed some rallying point now. I mean, after all, what is the real state of affairs when the man who led the rebellion has been slain, and instead of rejoicing, why, the greatest grief that David ever expressed, So David now goes up to the gate and lets people know that it'll be business as usual. He's back on the throne. Now David returns to Jerusalem. And all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "The king saved us out of the hand of our enemies, and he delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines, and now he's fled out of the land for Absalom. And Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now, therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back?" What happened is simply this. There were those that had gone over with Absalom. Now, their point is, what are we going to do? And the best thing we can do is to bring the king back. And verse 11, "And King David sent to Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, saying, Speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, Why are ye the last to bring the king back to his house, seeing the speech of all Israel is come to the king, even to his house?" Apparently, even in the tribe of Judah, there had been a great defection, and many had gone over to Absalom. And now David is rebuking them for this, you see. The thought here is, "Ye are my brethren." Listen to David as he speaks to them in verse 12. "Ye are my brethren, ye are my bones, my flesh. Wherefore then are ye the last to bring back the king? And say ye to Amasa, Art thou not of my bone and of my flesh? God do so to me and more also, if thou be not captain of the host before me continually in the room of Joab. And he bowed the heart of all the men, even as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word unto the king, Return thou and all thy servants. So the king returned. He came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. And Shimei, the son of Gera, Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons, his 20 servants with him. And they went over Jordan before the king." Now you see, this boy Shimei had cursed David when he went out. And he wants to be the first now to welcome him back. And now we find here, verse 18, "There went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan and said unto the king, Let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. But Abishai the son of Zeruiah answered and said, Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?" Now listen to David. David's a generous fella. He was a man that could forgive. David said, "What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah, that ye should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? Why should I pay attention to this fellow? I'm king of Israel. I know I'm king." David was satisfied in that position. Why should I worry about a little fellow like this? And why should I put him to death? He doesn't amount to anything. And a great many Christians today let little things bother us, and we let little people bother us and worry us, and we ought not to. Is God blessing you, my friend? And I may be speaking today to a discouraged pastor. You having trouble with a board of deacons? Are you having trouble with some deacon? My friend, forget it. You're serving God. God's on your side. Live above that. Serve the Lord. Make sure that's what you're doing. Forget about those things. Oh my, we need to live above those things, you see. Listen to David now, verse 23. "Therefore the king said unto Shimei, Thou shalt not die. And the king sware unto him." He said, "Well, I don't intend to punish you? I'm not going to deal with you at all. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king and had neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. You see, Mephibosheth, in deep appreciation to David, you see, he wouldn't join in the rebellion. He stayed with David, and during all this time, he's fasted and prayed for David. Wonderful to have friends like that, you know. And we find here, and it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, "Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "My lord, O king, my servant deceived me, for thy servant said, 'I'll saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame.' And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king, but my lord the king is an angel of God. Do therefore what's good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king, yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right, therefore, have I yet to cry any more unto the king?" Mephibosheth said, "If you think I've betrayed you, well, you do as you please. I have no right to ask any other favor of you at all." The king said unto them, "Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, 'Thou and Ziba divide the land.'" And Mephibosheth said unto the king, "Let him take all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house." And Barzilla the Gileadite came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzilla was a very aged man, even 80 years old. He'd provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, where he was a very great man. Now this patriarch of another nation, you remember, had been generous to David and gave him everything. And David said, "Now you come go with me, because I want to reward you. I want to do something for you." And the king said unto Barzilla, "Come thou over with me. I'll feed thee with me in Jerusalem." And Barzilla said unto the king, "How long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem?" He said, "I have many more years. I know my days are numbered, and I'd just rather stay at home. I appreciate your generous offer of going and living in a palace." But he's reached the age where those things did not tempt him at all. Listen to him, verse 35. "I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king?" Why, he says, "I'm an old man. I can't hear the music anymore. Food doesn't taste like it did one time. And I don't want to come and mar the party. I don't want to be the one that would slow down the king and his enjoyment. I wouldn't want to do that at all. Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? Why do you want to do this, David? I did it for you because I've got confidence in you. I know you're God's man," and all of that. And that was the motivation for this man. And he said, "You're more than generous, David." David was a generous man. He was a revengeful man, too. David was a hot-headed man. But David was a generous man. We need to recognize that. It's too bad he hadn't been a little more generous with his own son when Absalom sinned and came back. If he had only forgiven him, if he'd only received him like the father received the prodigal son by putting his arms around him, put a robe on him and killing a calf and having a big time, a high old time, I tell you, it would have been a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I think he'd have spared himself this awful rebellion that had taken place. And this is something, of course, again, we need to note. And now, in chapter 20, we come to another thing. You would think after all of this that the Lord would let up on David. But now a Benjamite, leads a revolt against David, a man by the name of Sheba. And Joab put down the revolt. Joab also slew Amasa, who apparently should have put the revolt down, but didn't move at all. And so we're still in a very bloody era, and we're seeing that certainly trouble is not departed from the house of David. And I do not hear him whimpering or crying aloud at all at what has taken place at all. Now let me read, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 20. And there happened to be there a man of Belial, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, "We have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse, every man to his tents, O Israel." Now this man, Sheba's attempting to lead a rebellion, you see. So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan, even unto Jerusalem. Now, it's amazing how faithless and how undependable the people were. And you say, well, that was a crude day, and it was way back in the Dark Ages, and it was such a dawn of history, and man was not developed in that day, and he was not civilized. I'd like to ask you a question. Do you think it's any better today? Isn't it interesting that the president of this country, or any public official, can make some little statement, stump his tongue, by the way, and maybe say something that maybe shouldn't have said. But then they take a poll and find out that his popularity has been downgraded even enough that he couldn't even be elected to office next time. And that happens to any office holder, a public figure, whether he be a Democrat or Republican or whether he be something else. It just doesn't seem to matter. Why? Well, it shows how fickle the mob is and the crowd is. It shows how fickle all of us are. And you know, God knows that. God knows our heart. The heart is desperately wicked. Who really can know it? Now, whose heart is he talking about? Stalin's heart? The heart of Ho Chi Minh? No, your heart and my heart. That's the one he's talking about. And these are the things that are in the human heart. Paul says, "I know that within my flesh dwelleth no good thing." Now, all Israel goes after, that is the ten tribes, go after this fellow Sheba. And David came to his house at Jerusalem. I'm reading at verse 3. And the king took the 10 women, his concubines, whom he had left to keep the house, and put them in ward and fed them, but went not in unto them, so they were shut up until the day of their death, living in widowhood. These are the ones you remember that Absalom had taken. Now, Joab wants to put down this rebellion. Joab, also a brutal man, and he is a bloody man, and he was the captain of David, but he was loyal, and he was faithful to him, and to the very end. Then said the king to Amasa, "Assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present." So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he'd appointed him. And David said to Abishai, "Now shall Sheba the son of Bichri do us more harm than did Absalom? Take thou thy lord's servant, pursue after him, lest he get him fenced cities and escape us." In other words, this man Amasa's not moving. And what happened was just simply this, that we find Joab goes after him. And I tell you, he slew him because of the fact that he was a traitor to David. And it was obvious that that is what it was. So Joab then takes out after Sheba and puts down this revolt. My poor David, he doesn't have a moment of peace, you see. But he's not crying aloud. He's not whimpering at all. He knows that the Lord has taken him to the woodshed. Don't tell me David got by with sin, friend. He didn't get by, but he did love God. And underneath the faith that failed was a faith that never failed. That's David, God's man, the man after God's own heart.
A faith that never failed. Wouldn't it be great that despite our failures, the same could be said for each one of us? If you know someone that will benefit from these studies in 1 and 2 Samuel, I hope that you'll invite them to hop aboard the Bible bus and join us. Or if you'd prefer, give them the entire series on a USB flash drive or our handy solar Bible bus. Or check out our TTB 2018 wall calendar, Through Every Open Door. It's beautiful and it's a useful resource. It takes you around the world every month through an open door, prompting you to pray for open Bibles and open hearts. It's a calendar that you'll love to look at all year long. To order any of these items, you can call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or check them out at ttb.org. And be sure to join us for another great adventure in God's Word tomorrow. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat on the Bible bus just for you. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.